So continuing through our study of 1 Peter, we pick up today in chapter 3. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you're going to need your Bibles. We have some of the scriptures that are not on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to be looking back there. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. So if everybody's in 1 Peter chapter 3, look down at verse 7. We'll be in that here in just a second. But before jumping into our study, let me recap some of the points that we talked about last week with the wives. If you recall, we are talking about Christian submission. I was looking at the word submission this week, and I thought about something that I had missed over the years that is built within the word itself. It's the word mission. Do we have that slide, Mike? You see the word mission? You see, our primary mission on earth is to glorify God and make Him known. That has been called the chief aim of man. Our commission, remember the Great Commission? Our commission is to partner with the Holy Spirit in making disciples of Jesus throughout the world. And we do all of this by our submission. It's our submission. Here's our two missions up here. Mission, commission. Here's our submission. We submit to Christ and God's Word. We submit to the Holy Spirit as He leads us. And we submit to others by living selflessly so that people may be one to Christ. I just thought that was pretty cool, and I wanted to share that with you this week. So within the confines of marriage, how does submission work? Remember, we're recapping last week just a little bit. So last week we began our conversation by studying what the Bible says to the wives as found in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3 and Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. The wife is to submit to the husband's authority as head of the house according to scriptures. She is to respect him and love him with the virtues as those found in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember the whole patience, kindness, gentleness stuff? Now, it's not always easy. We acknowledge that, due in part that it runs against the woman's nature. And this nature was introduced as part of the curse doled out by God in Genesis 3. Does everyone remember that little scenario? You see, the wife's desire would be for her husband, but he would rule over her. The word for desire in Hebrew means to control. And the same word was used just a few chapters later when God warned Cain that sin desired to rule over him. It's the same word. But that Cain mustn't let it. If he does what God tells him to do, he'll be just fine. He must rule over sin. So back to Eve. Because of this desire placed in the woman's nature to rule over her husband, there would always be a power struggle within the marriage, as you can imagine. Yet it is the couple's duty to rule over the struggle. And if couples are able to do this together in love, their chances for a successful marriage will grow exponentially. A woman has a great responsibility to do her part to rule over sin in the marriage. She does this in part by honoring the husband through submitting to his authority. Yes, even if he is difficult or maybe not even a Christian. As long as he is not asking her to violate God's word. And I didn't talk about this a lot last week. But if the husband is commanding the wife to violate God's word, she is not to honor that. Now, they got to work through that in an amicable fashion and with love. But let me just say, like forbidding her to go to church. God tells us to fellowship with one another. Do not forsake the assembling of the brethren. Read the Bible. God commands us to be in His Word, to pray and worship. But if the husband also says to do anything dishonest, break the law or something, you're not to comply with that. You're supposed to, wives, to keep an eye on the Lord and what the Word of God says. And the primary reason for doing so points back to why we submit in the first place. To win people to Christ. This including our spouses if they are not saved or walking with the Lord. And when we do what God tells us, it can bring freedom and life to a marriage. Do you get that? When we do what God says, it brings freedom. It's not a prison. It doesn't keep us down. It gives us life, and life abundantly, I might say. So with that said and recapped, it's now time for the husbands. Yay! And all the wives said, yay! Now, what we don't want to be doing is recording this and putting it in your husband's laptop as he turns on his computer. Or emailing him and say, hey, you need to listen to this. Or elbowing him in the side today. Today we're going to look at what Peter says about the husband's role in the marital relationship. There are profound spiritual implications that can come about determined by how we treat our wives. I'm going to show you something I bet you've never considered it before. And we're going to talk about that in here in just a little bit. So for now, let's read verse 7 and then we'll come back and break it down. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, talking about the wives, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So we see clearly the first thing that Peter is addressing, the husbands. The wife was talked about previously, and now it's the husband's turn. So husbands, just when you think that you've got it all figured out, God's word reminds us of where the bar is set. And make no mistake that it's a high bar with a lot of responsibilities and rewards attached to it. So now we'll look at the word likewise in verse 7. There is a comparison being made between the wives and the husbands. This is what they both have in common. They both have responsibilities within the marriage. Both have responsibilities within the marriage. Now look at your Bibles. Look at the word likewise. The likewise in verse 7 reaches back to verse 1. So now let your eyes go back to verse 1 where it's talking about the wife. We don't have this on the screen. That's why I said you're going to have your Bibles. So the wives are also told to do likewise. The likewise in verse 1 points back to submission found in the latter part of chapter 2. Thus, both instances of likewise are connected and point to the idea that husbands and wives are called to submission in the marriage. Do you see that? It's not just one person submitting, it's both. But to whom both are submitting is a little different for each one, as I'm going to show you here in just a second. The wife is to submit to the husband, and the husband is to submit to Christ by loving his wife as Christ loves the church. Flip over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be down beginning in verse 22. So it reads, wives, submit to your own husbands as to whom? As to the Lord. So we're submitting to our husbands, but you're doing it as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in just a couple things. No, everything, right? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So as you can see, the wife submits to the husband, and by doing so is working unto the Lord. And then the husband submits to God and Christ Jesus and loves his wife as Jesus loves the church. As Jesus died for the church, the husband must die to himself for his wife. There is mutual submission and selflessness. If both the husband and wife live as Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter tell us, the chances for a smooth marriage are much increased because selfishness is pushed to the side. If you think about it, nearly every problem that arises in marriage is due to selfishness, isn't it? You ever thought about that? Almost every problem has to deal with selfishness, which is one person wanting what they want, no matter the other spouse's feeling, their feelings. Husbands, when we submit to Jesus as the ultimate model for how we love our wives, we're going to have a happier home. And you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life, happy life. If you remember anything this morning, remember that. Look at the word dwell. It's in the following phrase in verse 7. Dwell with them with understanding. To dwell indicates the place where both husbands and wives are living. It could be the house, it could be a cave, it could be a field. It's wherever they both are doing life together. And it indicates a partnership that is firmly committed to the covenant of marriage. They're dwelling together. One's not hopping out and the other, they're both there. And there is communication involved, not just grunts. We all laugh because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Tragically, one survey revealed that the average husband and wife have 37 minutes a week in communication. That's a week, not a day. Is it any wonder that marriages fall apart after children grow up and leave the home? The husband and wife are left to cohabit as virtual strangers. As husbands dwell with the wife, notice what the scripture says, that they are to do so with understanding. This word means to learn by experience or to take in knowledge of someone. This tells us that we are to try and understand why our wives feel a certain way, what makes them happy, what makes them disagreeable. My wife and I went to Bible counseling before we got married. I recommend that to everybody. Think about getting married. Go sit with a pastor, somebody that can counsel you biblically on what it is to have a Christian marriage. So he gave us some pointers and tips. And one of the things was to know my wife with understanding. Understand her. Well, I'd been a bachelor for roughly 40 years. And kind of did things my own way. One of the first things I came to understand about my wife is that she didn't like the toilet seat left up. That was one of the first lessons. That's right. I think that was our honeymoon lesson. Well, as soon as I learned that lesson, things got immediately better. And they continue to go better. We've had to teach that lesson to my son. But he's doing well too. The other thing I had to learn about her was that she didn't like raw chicken to touch the kitchen counters. I don't understand that. It seems just fine to me. But she wonders to this day how it is I never got salmonella before I met her. I go, I don't know. I also rode my bike without a helmet when I was a kid, and I was okay. But anyway, I had to learn Leon. I had to learn about her, what makes her agreeable and what makes her disagreeable. So wives, and let me say this too. Husbands have to have things spelled out for us sometimes. We can be a little dense, but I'll say that, hey, we're just thinking about it. We got a lot of stuff on our mind, okay? So wives, don't make us read your mind, okay? It's not going to happen. We are not mind readers. tell us what you're looking for. Tell us what you want and things, and we can do it. We can do that. Just tell us what we're working with, and we'll do it. But if you're waiting for us to read your minds, there's conflict headed down that path. But husbands, be attentive to the different expressions of your wife and even their silence. This is part of understanding them. Are romantic feelings being conveyed? Or is there lava flowing just under the seemingly dormant volcano? Husbands, it's okay to ask every now and then for a report card from your wife. Where could I be doing better? Where could we be doing better? Some of the great advice that we were given in our premarital counseling was the idea of bricks. A wall just doesn't appear overnight. A wall between people occur one brick at a time. And when those bricks are never dealt with, you soon look up one day and you've got a wall between you. So he recommended, and it was good counsel. And we still do it occasionally, but it was really important for that first year of marriage as we were getting to know each other and I was trying to understand her. We go to bed at night and we look back on our day and we ask each other, are there any bricks that you have with me? And if there were, we would talk about it. And we would resolve it before going to sleep, because the Bible says do not go to sleep when you're angry. And if we're carrying bricks and resentment and offenses with us as we go to sleep, then we're going to bed as angry people, one brick at a time. You wake up 20 years later, and you can't even see the person anymore. As we ask, wives, as a husband, as we ask you, are there any bricks? Is there any way that we could be doing better? Give us feedback with love and not condemnation. We know where our faults are. I guarantee it. Be gentle with us. Now to the following phrase in verse 7. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Women were created to be different from men. Can I get an amen somewhere in the house? Not just anatomically, but physically and emotionally. Thus, there are some things that the wife is not created to do. And one of them is to be the protector of the family. Husbands, this is your role. When you fulfill your role in the physical aspects of the marriage, it honors the wife. Get the honeydews completed. Keep the house sound and sturdy. Taking care of the problems, like fixing things that break. But this command given here speaks to an even deeper level. It speaks to making your wife feel safe. Yes, physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. You see, when a wife feels unsafe in any of these three areas, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it can create problems in the marriage. When the husband's covering in the marriage begins to leak, the woman feels vulnerable. She may not express it, but it's occurring. Her body is aware of it. Her emotions, her spirituality is aware that there is a leak in the covering over her life. And this may show itself in physical sickness. There has been proven a link between fibromyalgia. You see, that's still too many people. It's a mystery disease. You ask the doctors, I don't know what it is. Here's the symptoms, but we really don't know what causes it. Here's some medication, try this and that, but good luck to you because you're going to have it for the rest of your life. It's primarily a woman's disease, though I do know personally of some men that have it. But the science that they have beginning to understand that there is a link between a woman's vulnerability in the marriage, her feeling unsafe, her feeling uncovered, or whether it's by a father growing up. She didn't have the proper covering as she was growing up. And the body sensing that emotional and spiritual turmoil and conflict within her begins to express itself through unexplained pains and such. So just kind of an interesting side note is there. This isn't me telling this. This is what I've read in science books. So as I've taught before, our bodies can be physical indicators of a spiritual or emotional problem that needs healing. And husbands, it is our duty to make our wives feel safe. It brings honor to them when we do it. When we lead them spiritually, such as getting them out to church, getting the family out to church and bringing the family into prayer or maybe family reading time of the word, instead of always relying on the wife to be the spiritual leader of the family, men, we need to take our spiritual role in that, to be the initiators of getting the family out the door. Let's get to church. Let's pray. Let's read the word. Let's do some devotions. When we begin doing that, they will feel secure. When we set a guard over the house as to what we let into our house, and I'm even talking through computers or through the TV, they will feel safe. When we include them in our lives, they will feel loved. There is a dispute as to whether we tell our wives everything about certain dangers or problems. Just be discerning. Does she need to know the information? Will it make her wise or will it unnecessarily scare and frighten her? Husbands, are you being wise with the finances? Are you discussing the finances with her? You should. It's going to make her feel respected, assuming that she wants to know. And this goes for wives too. Notice the word vessel here. The word vessel used here in this phrase by Peter is used by a specific choice. The word speaks to an instrument for used in temple worship. I'm not talking about a harp or a lyre. I'm talking about a temple, an instrument like the pouring out of the holy water, etc. That's the type of vessel that Peter is referring to here. It's a special and it's a sacred instrument used in temple worship of God. The woman and wife are a special instrument in the marriage that is sacred to God. She is special to Him. And you better make sure that you don't break God's instrument. Let's move on. Look at the phrase, as being heirs together of the grace of life. The word grace here is charis. In this instance, it's better translated as the gift of life. And that's exactly what they do. Like we understood earlier, both the husband and wife are cohabitating in the same place together. They're dwelling together. They are one who both share in the gift of marriage, called here the gift of life. Marriage should be a blessing and not a curse. Hollywood wants you to think that marriage is a burden, that it's a type of prison, that it's an intrusion on our self-expression, that it's an institution that has no relevance in our day and age. However, nothing could be further from the truth. You see, God designed marriage. Sin came and messed it up. And as mentioned, our responsibility as marriage partners is to rule over sin. So husbands, don't check out when the going gets tough. Check in and never leave. Rule over sin together. Be present in the moment, husbands. Enjoy your wife. Include her in your passions and your interest if she wants. Embrace marriage as a gift and your wife as a gift given to you by God. When is the last time you thank God for the gift that He has given you in your wife? And then treat her as such. Protect her mind and protect your marriage. My wife and I, when we watch TV, she is also helping me protect my mind. As we are maybe watching a show, now we don't watch a lot of TV. We watch a lot of the old reruns and stuff, but you know, the commercials are just as bad as anything. So you gotta be careful about even the commercials. And if she is holding the remote, you know, a commercial comes up that I shouldn't be looking at. To protect me, yep, change the channel. And I don't mind that because I know what she's doing. Or maybe we are watching an old program, an old Columbo or something like that, and there's a pool scene. And though it was 40 years ago, those images are still real. And she goes, "Honey, are you okay with this?" She asked me, are you okay with this? I'm going, "I don't know, maybe you ought to change the channel." I will do that occasionally for her as well. Women aren't as visual as men. But occasionally, you know, an underwear commercial comes out, like, "I'll just change the channel." And I think she appreciates that, don't you? Just because I'm trying to protect your mind. And the movies that we allow in the house and that we watch, you know, I try to protect her mind. She doesn't like scary movies at all. Or anything with even, like, Twilight Zone would be considered a scary movie. So she didn't like that stuff. So at night before we go to bed, there's none of the, no, Robin doesn't watch any Twilight Zone because it freaks her out a little bit, and I want to protect her mind. I don't want her going to bed and having bad dreams. So we have this mutual protection going on. But getting back to it, so we are to embrace marriage as a gift, and our wife as a gift. We are to protect their mind. For most of my adult life, I had no desire to get married because I thought it would prevent me from achieving my dreams. But that was a lie. I missed out on so much by not finding Liana earlier. I could have elevated her, and she could have supported me in chasing our dreams. God designed husbands and wives to work together to help and encourage each other and to pick each other up when the other falls. And thank God He woke me up before it was too late and I missed out on being married. For you single people, we've got a few out here. Marriage can be everything that God designed it to be as long as you look for and find a spouse that is 100% committed to Jesus and to doing marriage God's way. If you were married before and you want to be married again, pray and seek the Lord to help make you ready for your spouse by growing deeper in Christ yourself. If both of you are committed to a Christian marriage and following Jesus personally and together and doing marriage God's way, it is likely that you will also consider marriage a gift. Pray and ask God to send that person your way. Finally, we come to a very interesting caution by Peter, that your prayers may not be hindered. The words in Greek behind these English words mean exactly the same thing. There is no better literal interpretation. Husbands, if we do not treat our wives with honor, and you better listen up, if you've checked out, come on back for just a second. We're almost finished here. I'm wrapping things up. This may be one of the most important parts of this message. I bet you didn't even know it was in Scripture till we go over it this morning. Husbands, if we do not treat our wives with honor and as the precious vessel she is to God, if we neglect her, don't try to understand her, to treat her poorly, demean her or make her feel unsafe, or even bring dishonor to the marriage through private actions that only you and God know about, the Bible says that our prayers will be hindered. It's right here. Our prayers will be hindered. The way we treat our wives affects whether God hears our prayers or not. That's crazy to think about, isn't it? Crazily amazing. How often is this occurring in families all over the world where the husband is praying for something and the answers simply will not come? The family needs a miracle or needs God to move or to provide, but it seems like everything the husband prays for falls on deaf ears. I'm just posing the question, not providing the answer. Could it be because of the way that he treats his wife? The psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me." And that goes for all of us. But in talking about the marital relationship as a husband, there is a link between unanswered prayers and sin. Husbands treating our wives with contempt and in unloving ways is sin, and it can hinder our prayers. It says so right here. So husbands, do you want God to hear your prayers? I know that I do. Begin treating your wife with honor. Begin protecting her and making her feel safe. Begin living selflessly within the marriage. And instead of looking to be served, serve her. Remember that she is God's precious vessel. Treat her as God sees her. And you will find God answering many more of your prayers and blessing your family. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, we're going to begin at the end of most messages. I'm going to have a section called the doer steps. These are action steps that James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. And so as we begin to practice what we've heard and what we've been taught from Scripture, we will begin fulfilling what God tells us to do. So these are called doer steps. Now, I've got four of them up here. If that seems too overwhelming, just pick one of them. All right? Just pick, I can do that one, and begin working on that one. The first is, husbands, seek out ways to make your wife feel safe. Ask the Holy Spirit, where is it that she may not be feeling safe? How can I make her feel safe? Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Remember those three areas. The next doer step is, now I know this is a tough one. This is hard. Talk with her. Talk with her. That means like, don't speak grunt anymore. Talk with her. And by the way, in communicating with your wife, that also means listening. Listening. Guys, do you realize that when women talk, they release a hormone that deals with stress in their body? It's called oxytocin. Look it up. When women talk, the body releases, if they're stressed out, the body releases this hormone and it chills them out. It's called oxytocin. You want a chilled out wife? Not so, is she stressed? Listen to her. Allow her to talk a little bit. And let her know, all right, there is a game coming on. I've been waiting for this game for 3 weeks. This is not the time, but I will make time for you either before or right after. And halftime's not a good time because the game may be starting any moment. I don't want to miss any of it. Most wives are going to be okay with that. Or just let them know when is a good time to talk. She comes barging in, you know, walking in. Like, honey, this isn't a good time. But I promise to listen to you in just an hour. Can we do it? All right. So talk and listen. Guys, this is an easy one. This is one you can start using at lunch today. Okay? The next is, you can ask for a report card. How am I doing? How am I doing in the areas of physically, emotionally, and spiritually making you feel safe? How am I doing in the other areas of keeping the house up and getting the honeydews done? And then don't get offended if they happen to be brutally honest. Just remember, women do use love. Everything should be spoken in love. And don't point out his deficiencies. This isn't the time when he asks for a little feedback. This isn't the time to just, well, now that you mentioned it and you pull out the list and just, that's not the time for that either. And then the fourth thing is, to the singles. If you're desiring to be married someday or married again, begin preparing yourselves for marriage right now. Growing deep in God and training yourself to be the mate that you want your husband or wife to be. Begin making those changes in you right now. And you become the person first and then look for those qualities in a mate. And begin praying and ask God to send you that person that is committed to a Christian marriage in a Christian walk, doing marriage as God says to do it. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray.